Let's get ready to go, because this is the Chet Show! And it's gonna be fun.
Oh, hang on, I'm on
the train headed back to Indiana.
I like how you say that.
With a little cynicism, like, it may or may not be for you. I'm gonna have a blast.
This is the beginning of a brand new Chad Matthew podcast. I know a lot of you have not heard me talk with so much passion before.
It's the beginning of a beautiful thing.
It's going to be an amazing friendship. It will. You're going to love me. Let's go.
Is an amazing summer, awesome day today. And yes, I had a lovely morning on my kayak, which I hadn't brought out for at least 6 months now. I think winter went really, really quickly, didn't it? Or did we even have a winter? That's really the question. Like, Australia seems to be the new Mediterranean or something. It's like very, very rare that it's actually cold anymore, though I don't feel the cold anyways. Today we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about signs. And I mean spiritual guidance and all those wondrous things that I have had the opportunity of receiving in my life. So I'm not sure about you guys, but for me, I live life on the edge, really. I'm an adventurist. I enjoy taking chances. Most of my life, as we're hearing it all unravel and spill out into these podcasts that, every day, every month, every year, every kind of decade has brought something new. And I was thinking about how I can kind of put more positive spins on having these conversations that I've been having with you guys. And the one thing that dawned on me the most was I haven't spoken about how I got led out from and away from all these moments where I really had experienced all these, you know, downward spirals and terrible things and moments to regret and, you know, things that I wanted to get away from and life changes and all this sort of stuff. And it actually has been a very interesting conga line of signs that I've now picked up on a little bit more in my older years. The first one that I can remember the most was down in Melbourne. So as I mentioned in another podcast, I went to Melbourne. Well, actually, I didn't mention this in another podcast. So I actually went to Melbourne on a detox. That was my first time in Melbourne. So when I was talking about how I picked up, you know, the two garbage bags and the $250 in the backpack and went down to Melbourne, started a new life, I actually had been down in Melbourne to have a detox, and I went down there just for some random reason. Now, there was no particular agenda except trying to go away from my environment. So a friend of mine, who's still my friend now, is one of my best friends, he actually paid for and facilitated for me to go on this trip to Melbourne. So I think we just booked a train ticket and down I went to Melbourne. Now, this was, when was I? How old was I? I was probably around about 20, I'd say 20 years old. And I went down there on this detox and it was horrendous. I mean, going anywhere on your own on a detox is pretty horrendous. I guess we didn't really think about how a detox affects us, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally. And so sending me off to go by myself down to this random city that I'd never been to before, you know, to do this detox. Funnily enough, I look at that time now and I go, how wrong were we, me and my friend, to come up with this plan? And my friend's only 14 years older than me. So I'm 38 now. So he's only in his 50s now. But, you know, how wrong were we to plan to go on a detox by yourself when you're coming down from, you know, uppers and speed and opiates and all these other party drugs and things like that. And funnily enough, I went down there and I had a shocking time. And I remember everything going wrong, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally. I mean, I had no friends down there. I didn't know anyone. I was just wandering aimlessly around the streets. And looking at it now, how unacutely aware were we that we were aligning a pretty much a pillar and set kind of foundation of what got my career, my life, and pretty much where I'm at off the ground. And that was when things are at its worst or at its rock bottom, you still need to be able to be on your own and be able to cope with what it is that you're going through. And now, I was never alone. I said on my own. You know, there was many, you know, places that I could have gone to if I needed support or anything like that. But I wasn't there for, you know, counseling or, you know, some kind of medical treatment. I literally was going down there so I could be away from the environment where I was drawn into and self-indulged in bad behavior and self-mistreatment. And so I'm looking at that now and I'm thinking, how crazy to think that something like that would work. And it really did. It really did work. I ended up living in Melbourne, and Melbourne ended up becoming my first step into sobriety, like a different kind of life. You know, in my early 20s, I went back to Melbourne, and it all started from this moment. I'd gone to Centrelink on a Friday. I missed the doors by the opening of Centrelink by about, I don't know, five minutes or something like that. And I was knocking on the doors, and it's the 96 tram now that goes all the way to St Kilda. That used to be a railway there, and then they've replaced it with trams. Anyway, there used to be a Centrelink there. And I remember leaving that Centrelink, and I was just so angry. Like, I was coming down. I was like, you know, there was just, I thought the whole world was against me. You know, I had no money now for the next couple of days. And so I remember walking off, and then it started raining, and then it was just a nightmare. You know, here's me going to Melbourne because I wanted to get away from, you know, feeling bad about myself and getting away from trying to not do the wrong things. And if I did not do the wrong things, the right things would happen. Yeah, that's what it seemed like I was doing. Of course, our version of success and our version of the way that we see things always is positive. Even when we need to change, even when we need to, you know, remove things, remove people, remove, you know, what barriers or anything, it has to be a positive thought. You know, we can't go, oh, I want to send ourselves down the garden lane, and then obviously, you know, it'll all be good from there. And so I'm walking, and then I just thought, fuck it, I can't do this anymore. I want out. Like, I was physically sick now, and I was just like, I had no money. I was just like, I can't. I think I was on Optus prepaid at the time, and almost out of credit. And, you know, I rung my friend. I'm telling him all my goodbyes. I was over it. I, you know, I don't think I was suicidal, but I definitely had the thoughts going through my head. You know, I was really over it. I was just, yeah, I don't remember feeling like I was going to be self-harming, but I remember just being so angry that anywhere I went seemed to be another barrier from happiness. And I walked down towards the train line, and I just stood in the middle of the train track, and I was like, I was standing there for ages, and I don't even think trains were running, but I was like, okay, I'm going to stand here. And I remember screaming, and screaming at the gods, a god, or, you know, spirituality, or just screaming at anything to listen to me or to hear me and see me and know that I was there trying to change my life. I was really in a moment of like helplessness. Like I could hear the distress out of my screams. It was kind of just, it was just like I was about to give up, right? Like truly, I just, all this energy inside me, all this will, all this fight. And I think that I was really ready to give up. And it was raining and the wind was blowing, and I'm standing there in this middle of this train track, and I was screaming about giving me a sign, you know, or helping me. And, you know, I don't remember word for word, but I remember this moment and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget this moment. And as I was screaming and yelling about not being seen, not being heard, this newspaper had come flying at me, and it wrapped itself around my leg. And I just remember being so angry that it wasn't a train. It was just like, I can't even stand here. And, you know, I'm still getting shit thrown at me, literally. And I picked up and I leaned over and I picked up this newspaper. And as I lifted it, it was me. I was on the paper. It was my first commercial, well, my first job that I ever did in Sydney. And here it was in Melbourne, you know, on this newspaper. And I didn't even know, like, I had no idea that I was going to be on any paper down in Melbourne or anything. And it was legitimately myself looking at me in this moment of despair. I just remember feeling like everything that I was feeling, all that anger, I just felt numb. Like, I didn't feel angry. I didn't feel anything. And like, I felt kind of like a comfort, but also like a void. Like, I was just in such a state that, you know, I just went to nothingness. And I took this piece of paper with me, and I went back to where I was staying, and I just wrote out the next couple of days, and I went back to Sydney. I was in Sydney and, you know, trying not to get back into the same crowds and everything. And I kind of forgot about it. I kind of forgot about like the thing happening once I got back to Sydney and everything, because obviously I'm going through this detox, you know, I'm getting off heavy, heavy drugs. And you know, the last thing on my mind was remembering or, you know, recollecting things like signs and amazing moments in life. I mean, normally we kind of do that when we're in a good place. And I just forgot all about it. And a few years went by, and I remember I started working for Fitness First. Fitness First, I'd got myself, as I said to you guys before, like, I got into the fitness world, and I was working in Bond Street, and I was living at Redfern at the time. And I moved into this place at Redfern, and I used to smoke pot and I smoked cigarettes and I drank a lot. And then I moved into this place at Redfern, across from the station there. It's all changed now. But by the time I started at Fitness First, I started feeling guilty about smoking and everything. And I just gave it up. Like, I just kind of gave it up overnight. And I actually never had a withdrawal from cigarettes for like 3 weeks. And I'll come back to that. It was very strange. I just gave it up. Like, something was pulling me into the fitness world. And I went there and I had this job down, and I was working in the reception at Bond Street. down near Australia Square in Sydney. And I was living at this place in Redfern, and I was living in a room and sharing it with people, and they were a party house. And of course I moved in as a party guy. And then all of a sudden I started working Fitness First. I was opening at 6 a.m. And so I was up at like 4 and I stopped smoking, stopped drinking. And funnily enough, they ended up kicking me out. It was the first time, the many times since, that I was ever kind of bullied or disheartened and kind of shown the door for doing the right thing. And there'll be many shows about this where, you know, people will try to dampen your success or the things that you're trying to do for yourself to better yourself. Because if they're not on that roller coaster ride of fun, happiness and joy, they're not always going to be rooting for you. Anyway, so here's this job at Fitness First, and I loved it. It was great. And, you know, we had this manager, Cherie, her name was, my God, I can't believe I remember it. Well, I remember it because of the moment that I had with her, and she was such a bitch. And what I mean by that was she was a control freak like no other. And I don't think anyone, you know, would say any different. And nothing was ever right for her. Like, it was always something wrong, always something, you know, to go on or something. And, you know, I was like a young 23 year old guy. And I hadn't had a cigarette for like three, four weeks. And I had no withdrawal symptoms or anything. And then I went to work one day and it just hit me. And she said something to me. I basically ripped the computer out of the desk and threw it. And then I ran over to where they do the memberships consulting and started like literally punching the cushions. Like I was like full on, like I was in a boxing class or a boxing ring, smashing into these cushions. And funnily enough, I was fired that day from Fitness First. And on the same day, I actually had a tarot reading. And No, I'm not even making any of this up. This is why I want to do these podcasts. And I had a tarot reading booked, right, with some random woman. I don't even know how it came about. Anyway, I left. So she asked me to leave, like, basically straight away. Like, I was no finishing the day or anything. It was like, you got to go. You've just smashed up the whole entire front desk. And I don't know where this anger had come from. I assume the cigarettes or the detox that I'd been doing and the fact that I just got kicked out of this place because I changed my life for the better or what. And then there's this woman who's like, nothing ever works for her and anything positive is just shot down. And so I just lost my shit. Anyway, so I ended up going to this clairvoyant on the same day. And I remember going up there and it was this place near George Street and it was just some random route, like some office space or whatever. And I'm up there and I'm sitting in the chair and we're going over stuff and, you know, they do the whole whatever they do and we're talking and, you know, she's like, okay, we're going to shuffle the cards now. And I shuffle the cards and literally she got literally like, and I said that a lot, don't I? Literally. And I'm sitting there and she's like, okay, so we're going to put these in four spots or whatever, four piles. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but all the cards were on the floor. Like, I don't know if I looked away or what happened. And then she's just looking at me in shock and she's going, oh, I don't know. I can't. She said, they don't want me to tell you your future. And I'm like, well, what's the point of being here if I'm not going to know what's going on? And I swear to you, like, it was so bizarre. Like that whole week was just so full of just so many different signs that I needed to move away from Sydney. I needed to start watching the way people treated me, and I started to stop second guessing the future. And I guess, and that's what I took away from not being able to read the future in the cards. It was like, stop trying to plan everything, you know, take some more chances, do things that you don't know are going to happen. And, you know, I'm in my 20s. Like I didn't have any, like any parental guidance on most of my stuff. So, I mean, I was already, as far as I was concerned, I was already taking chances, but this wasn't about being a nomad. And this is what I want you guys to take away from today's podcast, is taking chances is not being a nomad. It's about allowing life to give you the opportunities that you keep saying you want, because you won't be able to see the new until it's new. There's not like a shop that you walk by and you go in and there's a whole new little life that you pick up and walk out with, and then all of a sudden everything's different. And that's what I think we kind of forget. It's that there is, the new is something that you don't know. It's not something you're going to go and collect. You have to take a risk. And every single opportunity that you pray for, wish for, hope for, means you just have to do things that you didn't think you would want to or would necessarily normally do. In fact, if you wouldn't necessarily normally do it, or it feels right but you're not sure, do it. Just do it. Just go for it. As long as it's not breaking the law or breaking your morals, do it. I mean, really. So all this stuff came up, and then I started to, obviously, the minute the job finished, the house finished up, and everything was like, well, everything had gone to shit, really. And I was just like, well, now I'm back at square one. But I hadn't. See, this is the weirdest part. I'd learned how to give up drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. I just learned how to hold down a job in the fitness industry. Like, I just learned about the fitness industry. Forget how it ended. That's a new thing that I didn't have in my life at all prior to it. And so we don't normally always recognize the stuff that we're learning. Like, we don't go, oh shit, I've got all these new tools I haven't really started to use yet. I'm just living the same life, but I'm just doing different things. It's like, that's great. But you know those opportunities that you want? You know that new life that you hope happens, and that dream and those goals and everything else that's not happening right now? Yet that happens when you actually allow change and using all those new tools, not just acquiring them, you got to use them. And so I ended up going, for some weird reason, like, I don't actually remember this moment. It might come to me, I don't know. But I moved to Melbourne with the 250. Oh, yes. So I was with a friend, not my friend, the friend that sent me down there. And his ex-boyfriend, Matthew, he said, yes, I could come and live with him and his partner. And I went down there. So the same friend, ironically, that I had gone down on the detox with, and I'm so glad I'm remembering this. I'm sorry, I'm very excited now. I've just remembered something that I remember now, yes. And I went down there to live, and it was in Brunswick, and with him and his boyfriend. And I went down there, and that's where it started. And I went down with the 250 bucks on a CountryLink train and a backpack. And that's all I had, right? That was my get-go. And of course, you know, my friend was going to loan me money or whatever. But the story is, that's what I started with, right? You know, that was my pat on the back. That, regardless of the train that took me there, regardless of the support that I had in the future, regardless of the home that I might be living in, I took a chance. And that's what I need to, that's what we all need to reward ourselves for. So yes, there are always people helping us. I mean, there's lots of things and ways that people help us, or things that help us, or computers that help us, or anything, but we got brains, you know, we got morals, we got goals, we got attitude, we got grit, we got wit, And we got endurance and stamina, and we got all these amazing qualities. So we have to pat ourselves on the back. So I got down to Melbourne, did Melbourne, or Melbourne did me, or a bit of both. And funnily enough, I met the first love of my life. And his name was Thomas. He was a wonderful young man who was learning circus at the time and in a circus school down there. And it was going all really well until, you know, I got my career started in entertainment. I was doing fringe festivals and I was doing all these amazing things. You know, he was a part of it and he was also in performing arts and it was really great. Everything seemed like it just, this was the move. This was it. This was going to be life from now on. Of course, you know, both of me and Thomas and me and, you know, my friends and everybody else, we had bigger and bigger goals and dreams and things, you know, like, you know, as a young Hollywood, as a young actor wanting to be a Hollywood star and all the rest of it, you know, there was so much more to even contemplate and hope for that happens. Funnily enough, you know, things started unraveling because my insecurities, which I've talked about in other shows, other signs started coming into my life that I was changing. I was developing. I was now, you know, mid 20s, you know, I was there for 4 years. 4 years, I'd got so much out of it. I was doing commercials, I was doing film, I was doing television, I was doing plays, and you know, I had this beautiful man in my life, and of course, as a young person who didn't think of how to expand my life without changing it completely, I started getting self-destructive. So things started unraveling a little bit. But before that, I had this person come into my life who was a model who I'd worked with, and he moved in with me. And then, see, this is where it gets a bit tricky with signs, because I know I'm talking about the positive signs, but there are also negative signs, which can change everything. But then I think to myself, just because it didn't happen the way I wanted it to, that is my interpretation of a negative sign. So this is just my story, guys. And I don't want you to take away that a particular sign is positive nor negative, because in our minds and our pursuit for success, everything has to be positive. Otherwise, it's not desirable. Right. So when I say negative or positive, I'm just telling you the story of my emotional ride, because when we do coaching and talk about how to get through or over obstacles, sometimes that's not pleasant. Okay. So I just want you guys to understand that this is the emotional ride of obviously what I felt. And that was not that great. But in hindsight, when we come to it, it actually worked out in a very beneficial way. So here's me with this other guy. And no, there was no, you know, infidelity or anything. It was just he was a straight guy, and he moved in with me. Two creative people wanted to get a bigger home. So we got a bigger home, spent all this money. He didn't end up moving in, right? And so I was left with this big place, right? I could not afford. Like I wasn't there yet. I wasn't in that place. But you know, we're in a three-story, you know, three-bathroom place or whatever it was. And he didn't move in. His life changed, and all of a sudden that went down like a lead balloon for me. And I was stuck there in this lease. And the woman refused to get me out of it. So I ended up getting this girl in who didn't end up moving in either. Friggin' hell. She wanted her money back because she didn't move in. And I'm like, no, you can't. So she sent her boyfriend over and he was threatening me, and all this shit went down. It was horror. It was really bad. And so who copped it? Yes, you guessed it. Thomas. Partner, he copped the brunt of it. He got all my negative emotional stuff because I didn't have any counselor or way of communicating. The only way I knew how to communicate was just whatever came out of my mouth to whomever was close enough. And sometimes I still do that. Much more controlled now. And this is a thing that we all do. We either don't say anything or we say too much, but we don't concentrate on what effect that has and how that can literally change everything. And it did. It did change everything. That all happened around Christmas. He was from Sydney and so was I. And we were both going to Sydney for Christmas. And I had planned to get on a Captain Cook cruise and I bought two rings. I was going to propose to him. I know I'm very young and, you know, it doesn't mean you have to get married straight away. I think expressing your love and just saying, I see you in my future is a wonderful thing. I don't think that needs to relate to we're going to, you know, everything's going to be nailed down and nothing ever's going to change. I mean, we live in the entertainment industry and the real world. So for me, it was like, I knew I wanted him in my life. But the thing was, I didn't know how to keep people in my life at the time because I had all this vulnerability and I didn't deal with hurdles and disappointment very well at all. I had a huge defense about disappointments. And as you've heard or will hear through some of my podcasts and how I grew up, disappointment, hurt, and negative kind of enforcement coming from anywhere was a huge barrier for me. And it would make me react in a very negative way. And the people most closest to me would normally cop the brunt of that. So here was this cruise that I had all set up. I had the two rings made and I had it made a little, they were beautiful little Greek rings, just really nice kind of embroiled kind of rings, gold. By the time we got to Sydney, I was up there first. We had broken up and I had broken up with him and he had broken up with me. And he went to his family. And before all of this, he'd already copped all the stuff from me about the home and just all the bad decisions that I had made and all the choices that I had made. And, you know, I'd completely forgot that this person was living in his own life as well. You know, this is a partnership. It wasn't just a Chad ship. It was a partnership. I didn't know how to kind of complement that relationship like that. I'd never had so many things go so well for so long. And I didn't know how to allow there to be room for more positive things. Because I didn't allow for room to be more positive things, well, I started getting to the point where I was waiting for things to break down. And because I was waiting for them, I actually incurred them. I created them. I created the breakdown of the relationship because I thought that if I didn't do it, it would happen. Now, I'm not saying it's a figure of speech that I thought that it was going to happen. Like, I internally had always gone through to this point, gone through these letdowns. And when things seem too good to be true, they normally were. And you know, it takes a lot of courage to keep believing. It really does. It takes a lot of work to still have belief and to still have that zest and goal and dream. And I'm going to talk about that in another show. But here I am now in this new place. I got out of my lease, no partner. Horrible, horrible time. Still in Melbourne, went back to Melbourne because that was where my life is now for 4 years. And I went to this little small little place. It was still a nice place in Peran, Victoria Street, above the gelato place. I don't know if it's still there. But anyway, I was there. Everything had kind of started to come back into place, you know, and talking about signs, right? We're talking about signs today, and there's so many things that I've already hinted on. Those are the things that we create in ourselves. Now, I don't know if you had heard the thing with Sep, you know, the podcast with Sep, where we talked about when you write things down for yourself and when you leave yourself messages or you write down lists of things to do, you start leaving signs around. So you actually create the movement of the opportunities that you want. I mean, you most of the time you know what opportunity you want. I mean, you know kind of what, you know, I mean, we all know that we want money and we all know that we want happiness and we all know that we want love, right? Those are three major things that we all know that we want. And so there's all these little ways that we leave ourselves hints or little moments to step forward and keep progressing and keep growing and keep doing. And so, funnily enough, now I'm not going to have as long as I want on this show, unfortunately, but I'm going to do a two-part show. How about that? So I will come back to the other part of this show, I think, and do a two-part. From the Melbourne detox to the Melbourne move, from having all these ups and downs, all these things that just kind of led me to new beginnings and endings. Endings, new beginnings. Now, where I want to finish the show today was what happened next. And then I'll go into it, into the next show about how that happened. But what happened next was even more bizarre. So, as I said, I was waiting for life to keep going downhill, right? But that wasn't my intention. So I'd worked hard enough to not lose everything this time. And because I did that, because I went and established myself in a new place, because I went and, came back from Sydney brokenhearted, but I didn't give up. I ended up staying in my place one night, and this guy I'd worked with, his name was Anthony. And oh, I can't believe I just remembered Anthony. His name was Anthony, actually. He called me up and he's like, oh, do you want to come to the exchange? Now, this should be an awesome little gay bar that was down on Commercial Road. Don't think it's there anymore. And I'm like, oh, dude, I've got no money. Like, I can't even afford a loaf of bread. I've moved into this place, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I feel like going out. And I'm like, and let me tell you, I'd met this guy once and gave him my number. Right. And we'd never caught up outside. It sounds like we're best friends or whatever, but I'd never met out with him ever, except for at this job, like on this shoot commercial. And he's like, come on, come out. And I said, look, I can't, I don't have any money. Like, I've just moved. I said, why don't you come over here? And if you bring a few drinks over here, I can pay you back for it. And he's like, okay, I'll come over. And I lived on, you know, on Chapel Street anyway. So I was close to Commercial Road. And so he came over and we had these drinks and bourbon and whiskeys or something. We were drinking and that, and he goes, let's go out. And I'm like, oh dude, I can't go out. And he's like, yes, just come and, you know, you can pay me back. So I'm like, okay. So I went down there with him and, you know, we were dancing and having fun and he was buying me some drinks and everything. And then the drag queen came over to me at the time and she's like, oh, you're going to be part of the show? And I'm like, sure, oh, I can't, you know, I'm here with my friend. And so what they used to do was they would record you getting done up as a drag queen. And then you would end up putting on a performance and they give you a DVD at the end and you can win like drinks for the rest of the night and all these vouchers and all this stuff. So it was like a reality kind of live performance of turning a club goer into the next diva, right? And I said, oh, I can't, I'm so sorry. And she's like, oh, you know, but you love dancing and everything. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I can't. And she's like, all right. You know, 3 or 4 minutes later, he comes running over. Oh my God, I'm going to be in the show. And I'm like, what? I just told them that I can't do it because I was spending it with you. I'm going to go and talk to her. So I went and spoke to her. She was like, oh, okay, great. Okay, so we got 4 people. Okay, so you're in it, Chad, and you're in it, you know, Anthony, and, you know, 2 other people. And so we, you know, they bought us drinks. We sat outside in the back room and they'd do us all up. And then there's these live feed cameras that went to like these TVs within the place. So we got dressed up and I had this like Tina Turner kind of vibe on. And I did Crazy in Love by Beyonce. And I remember this because I went out there and I remember holding all the stuff that was I just lost the love of my life. My life had just completely changed. You know, I wasn't the same Chad now. I was like another version of Chad with a bit more broken bits. And I was like, I'm going to go out there and fucking show these people who I am. And I went out there and I just went for it. And funnily enough, I won, right? 20 minutes or an hour or so after the show, this guy comes up to me and he says, "You need to go to London. London would love you." And I said, "Oh, okay." He said it. I don't know what happened in that moment. I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened. He touched something or sparked something. I'd never left the country. I'd never gone anywhere. At this point, I'd got on planes to Melbourne, to Sydney. I'd lived there 4 years, but I'd never gone overseas. I'd never done it. Basically, I'm going to tell you what happens in the next segment of this show. I'm going to leave this as a two-part, guys. I really want you to hear how signs and taking chances can lead you to some crazy escapades, wild times, and adventures like no other. Because if you want change, you need to be ready to change. And if you want something new, then it's going to be different. So guys, listen in to the next part of this because it gets wild. It's crazy. We've only just started. So hang in there, guys, and listen to the next podcast because this story gets even more crazier. Live life, love life, and enjoy life. See you guys.